But a lot of people, amen, think of salvation as only deliverance from hell. I'm saved, that means I'm not going to hell. And like that, that's all it means. Amen. When you think of salvation as just being delivered from hell, amen, you done missed out on what salvation really is. Actually, deliverance from hell is just a byproduct of salvation. It's just an overflow. It's just the leftovers. Because there's so much more to salvation than that. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. Pastor, what is salvation? And what makes it up? I'm glad you asked. When we get saved, the first thing that happens, we go from death to life. Somebody say, death to life. That's right. And I'll put that up there. Amen. Sound booth, if y'all can follow me if it's not frozen. Death to life. And that's what salvation. You see, before you're saved, you're spiritually dead. Anybody hearing me up in here? You're spiritually dead. That means that, hallelujah, you can't understand the Bible. You really can't pray too well. You can't hear God. Amen. And truth be told, God can barely hear you. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we were dead in our trespasses. Amen. But when we get saved, we are quickened. We are made alive by Jesus Christ. I want you to get a picture in your mind that when you are here at the altar getting saved, amen, that it's like putting those shockers that the EMS put on people, amen, and just resuscitate you, because that's what happens in your spirit. You become spiritually alive. You can understand the Bible now. You can pray now. You can hear right and wrong now. It's almost like going from you see the world in black and white, then you get saved and you open and you see the world in color. Amen. And that's how it happens. We go from death spiritually to life spiritually when we get saved. And the Bible corroborates that. That's why when we get saved, the Bible calls it being born again. Because you was born one time on your birthday. Amen. But don't you know you have to be born again on the inside? Some of y'all in here just have one birthday. If you have one birthday, you're in trouble. You're supposed to have two. You got to have a natural birthday, a physical birthday, then you got to have a spiritual birthday. The day that you came to know Jesus and you was made spiritually alive. The problem with dead people is this. They don't know they did. Woo! And I got to try to do my best up here to make you realize, amen, that something is broken on the inside of you. It's like God got one walkie-talkie in heaven and you got one down here, amen, but your walkie-talkie is broken. Amen. You don't have a battery in it. Anybody hear me up in here? When you get saved, God actually sends a repairman down and fix your communication device. Now you can hear him. Now you can walk after him. Now you want to go to church. You want to read your Bible. You want to pray. That's showing you that something has happened on the inside. When you're spiritually dead, you don't want none of God. You don't want nothing to do with God. God, I'm trying to do me. It's only when you're made spiritually alive that the spirit inside of you say, take me back to my creator. I want to be in his house on Sunday. I want to read his Bible. So salvation is not just getting a get out of hell free card. That's not all that salvation is. We are made spiritually alive. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Pastor, what else happens? When you get saved, you are transferred from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. This is what most people don't understand. Before we are saved, we're not working for God, no. We are actually working for the devil. Now, before you're saved, you don't know this. But if you think about it deeply, that's what you're really doing. Think about the way you was living and the things you would invite people to do with you. Was it things of God or was it things of the devil? Man, let's go to the club. Man, let's go drink. Let's go smoke. Hey, what you doing tonight? Can I come over? Anybody hear me up in here? You wasn't working for God. Listen to me. Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering abroad. Listen, I was scattering folk. I was inviting them to everything but God. I wasn't part of his kingdom. I wasn't working for God. There's some in here right now, amen, you working for the wrong person right now. But before you leave today, we're going to switch your employer. We're going to get you out of one kingdom and into another. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is God taking his hand and saying, you ain't working for him no more. You working for me. You're not selling that dope no more. You working for me. You're not doing this no more. You working for me. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us that in Colossians 1:13. The Bible says about Jesus who had delivered us from the what? The power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's what salvation is. We leave one kingdom and we enter and become citizens of another kingdom. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, they don't teach salvation in a lot of churches. They get bored with it. They think it's just to get out of hell, and so they don't teach all the things that come with this package, this portfolio of salvation. And because of that, the church is weak. The church is weak because they think the cross only get them out of hell. The cross do way much more for you. And we're going to go through it all, amen, or as much as we can. Hallelujah. All right? After he makes us alive in our spirit, after he translates us from darkness into light, he sends down his Holy Ghost. And this might not be the exact order, but he sends down his Holy Ghost to live inside of us. When you get saved, the Spirit of God takes all his luggage with him and he moves on the inside of your heart. And that's what he does. You know those cars that say baby on board? Yeah. After you leave the altar for salvation, we could put a little sticker on your back. Holy Ghost on board. And wherever you go, you walk and you leave it because he on the inside. And you could tell he on the inside because the things you used to do, you don't want to do no more. You feel bad about it. You don't want to curse no more and talk no more. You don't want to fight no more. And you telling them people in the hood, you better say, lucky I'm saved now, because, boy, if I wasn't saved. You know what I'm saying? That's evidence that the Holy Ghost is on board. Some of y'all being here this morning is evidence that the Holy Ghost is on board. You know you wouldn't be caught dead in a church this early in the morning. You'd still be sleeping. You'd be on your second nap right now. You know what I'm saying? But when the Holy Ghost indwells somebody, amen, the things we used to do, we don't do no more. And the places we used to go, we don't go no more. Woo! Have mercy. That's salvation. He makes us alive. He takes us out the kingdom of the devil, puts us in his own kingdom, indwells us with his Holy Ghost. It's not done. He adopts us into his family. He adopts us into his family. You see, some of y'all think that y'all born in the family of God. That's not true. You're born a sinner. You're born an enemy of God. David said, I was born in sin and I was shapen in iniquity. You wasn't born at peace with God. You was born in hostility and in enmity against God. And that's how we're born. We're born with original sin. But God loves us so much when we get saved. He said, listen, hallelujah, not only you're my enemy and I'm going to make you a citizen, but you're my enemy, I'm going to make you a citizen, and I'm going to adopt you into the family of the king. Oh, my goodness. Listen to me. Could you imagine a rich nation coming to you, and you're living in a poor, rundown nation, and they tell you, listen, we're going to make you a citizen? All right, that's great. Ooh, check. Praise the Lord. But then when you get to that country and they say, we're not only going to make you a citizen, but the king got a plan for you. He want to move you into his palace and make you a son and a daughter of the Most High. What does this mean? That means you can go in the king refrigerator. You can drive the king car. You can do whatever the king can do because you are heir of the king. Listen to me now. You think salvation is boring? You think salvation is nothing and is easy? No, my friend. You not only become a citizen, but you become adopted. And that's what John chapter 1 verse, hallelujah. Let me see, John 1 in verse 12 tells us. It might be verse 14, but hallelujah. That's what it tells us. Verse 12, it tells us, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become what? The sons of God. And it's not just boys, ladies. It's boys and girls. The sons and the daughters of God. Salvation means you adopted. You're no longer a stranger, but you're a fellow citizen, but you are also part of what's called the household of God. You can look up to God now, hallelujah, Miss Carol, and you can call him Abba. You can say Father. You can hold on to all the promises as God was your daddy. And he's not like them deadbeat daddies in the world. You understand what I'm saying? The boy that don't pay their child support, you know what I'm saying. Don't come by, don't visit you. All right, let me get on something else. But listen. The mic sound a little funny. Oh, it's good. It's good. Y'all can hear me? All right, all right. So you know what I'm saying? He becomes our Father. You know what I'm saying? He adopts us. That's salvation. Not only that, at salvation, God destroys the effects of sin. The effects of sin. You see, to save us and to think like the contemporary church that he's going to just get us out of hell and that's it. So what are we going to do? Live a miserable life of bondage and defeat on earth and then we just get out of hell and that's supposed to be good? Nah, man. That's not salvation. Salvation is like that old candy that we used to eat. It's for now and later. You get blessings now and later when you get saved. You know, and part of the blessings is that he comes into our life and he begins to deal with the sin that held us. And so he deals with the effects of sin. What effects? The guilt of sin. Some of us, we've done so much wrong before Christ, so much wrong that we can feel guilty about some things in our past. Whether it be divorce or adultery or the fornication and the promiscuity that we was a part of, being with so many different people. It could have been the robbing, the jacking, the crime, the selling drugs to our community. It could have been murder like Moses or conspiracy after the fact, the murder like Paul. You know what I'm saying? We all got things that we're not proud of and things that, hallelujah, the devil will come back and give us this extreme guilt over. And you see, when Jesus comes into our life and we get saved, he not only deals with sin, but he deals with the guilt of sin. He tells us in Romans chapter 8, listen, he says, listen, now that you're saved, he said, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? God is saying, listen, once you get saved, I don't care what you've done. I've cast your sea as far as the east is from the west. I'll put it in the sea of forgiveness. And I forgot. If I've forgotten about it, you can forget about it. If I've forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. Anybody hear me up in him? That's the beauty of salvation. And a lot of people not teaching that. They just teaching escape from hell. No, man. We got people going through things, man. That's why they have to take all this medicine. That's why we have to get psychiatrists and psychologists. That's why, amen, that field is booming right now. Because all of the cross is not being preached. All of the cross to liberate us, amen, from our past and the condemnation for the things that we have done. Listen to me, man. When you get saved, God takes your slate and he wipes it clean. He takes all the disks, all the storage, and he highlights it and he presses delete. You know what I'm saying? That's salvation, friends. That's salvation. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm just going over your portfolio. I'm just going over the plan. And some of y'all, you have the plan, but you need to be reminded what's in the plan. You ever, amen, had a cell phone plan, amen, and you didn't know what was in your plan? You ever had a cable plan, didn't know what was in your plan? You ever had a, I don't know, whatever other kind of plan, but you didn't know? And hallelujah, and it's something that you need that's already been given to you. Woo, my God. You know what I'm saying? That's salvation, but nobody talking about it no more. They're not talking about it because they're bored with it. They won't talk about new things. Tell me something new, Pastor. Tell me something good. I'm going to tell you, in church and in Christianity, we need to be reminded about some things. It's not about all about new things. It's about being reminded of what God has already done for you. You with me so far? This Bible is called a testament. A testament is a will. A testament is somebody leave you after they die. And it's all the rights, the privileges, hallelujah, all of the property and possessions that you own, hallelujah, that inure to your benefit because of their death. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Our Lord left us a testament. And it's not like one of our wills, where our will be a page and a half, I leave you my old Pinto, my Volkswagen, and my Sally Mae loans. It ain't like that. His will, look, all the stuff is in it. And every Sunday we got to come together and listen, we got to remind each other what he left us. We got to remind each other what we have a right to. We got to remind each other the benefits that we have, the possessions that we own. Amen. You don't ever get tired going through this with me. Don't ever look for something new. Because we really ain't taking advantage of what we have. How you want something new and you ain't really working what you have just yet? Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! Salvation. What else we get? You see, God destroys the guilt of sin, the power of sin. What does that mean, Pastor? When you get saved, there were some things that before salvation held you bound. Might have been a little smoke. Might have been a little drink. Little drug, little club, little women, little men. These days, little women and men for some of y'all. But it was some stuff that held you bound and you couldn't get free of. And you say, Pastor, I don't want to be free. I like this stuff. No, you just think you like it. You bound. You know how you can tell when you're bound? Try to stop. Try to stop. And there were some things in my life that I couldn't stop. And I remember my little wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, she was like, listen, you're going to have to stop this. You can't just keep, you know, that ain't going to work for, you know. I was like, girl, I ain't never stopping. I love you and everything, but listen. Boy, but when I got saved, ooh, woo! Let me tell you something. He deals with the power of sin. He breaks the lock off the shackle. He breaks the lock on the cage. And as a Christian, if you're a Christian in here and you're bound by something, it's only because you want to be. You're sitting in a cell that's not locked. All you got to do is stand up and just move the gate. Look, just kick the gate and you walk right out of there. Whatever it is, there's nothing that can hold you as a Christian. No drug, no drink. No lifestyle, nothing that can hold you. You know why? Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And just like the song we sung, every now and then it's going to feel like you're bound. But you got to speak over yourself. You got to speak those things that are not as though they were, because depression going to come over you. Stress going to come over you. Suicide going to come over you. All those things. And you're going to feel like you're bound, but you're not bound. You're not bound. The devil is an expert in feelings. Ooh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Do you know you could feel a way about somebody, be absolutely not true? He's an expert at feelings. And he play us. He play us mentally and emotionally. And he got you thinking something is true when it ain't true. And you're living. You're living under the chain when all you got to do is just shake the chains off, because they already been broken. Come on, shake the chains off with me. Come on, shake the chains off. Shake the chains off. You see what I'm saying? Salvation deals with the guilt of sin, the power of sin, but also the penalty of sin. Because as sinners, amen, there's a penalty for that. Separation from God is a penalty, for your sins have separated you between you and your God. And there's a gulf between us and God. There's really no relationship. And when you're unsaved, you don't know that, because you don't really talk with God. He's really not a part of your day. He's really not leading you and guiding you. You see, but when you get saved and you got a relationship with the Father, and religion can't do that for you. You see, I have a relationship with him. He speaks to me. He leads me. He instructs my path. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. I have a relationship with him. That's why it's hard, amen, for me to fall, because I got somebody who see it all before I could see it, amen, because he know where I'm going. That's relationship. You see, one of the penalties of sin is that there would be a breach in relationship. But salvation closes the breach. It makes up the gap. The cross lays over the gulf between us and God, and we can run back to the Father. Some of y'all, hallelujah, you don't have a relationship just yet. You think you do, but you don't, because he don't talk with you, and you don't really talk to him, and you can't hear him like you ought. And that's why your life is full of ups and downs and mistakes and stress and trouble. Amen. Because you're trying to do it on your own. You see, that Psalm 23 say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You could tell when he your shepherd or not yet. You see, because he leadeth me beside the still waters. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Hey, God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy And if you can't feel those things, I'm telling you, man, it could be an indication that he's not your shepherd. But we're going to make him your shepherd today as we talk about the benefits of salvation. Woo! Listen, we got to move. Listen, he protects us. And that's the benefit of salvation. He protects us. That's Psalm 23. That's Psalm 91. He protects us. Listen, doesn't a father protect his children? He's a good father. You see? But unless he is your father, he has no obligation to protect you. No. It's like if I'm out, I have no obligation to protect another person. I could do it. It'd be a good thing. But my child? Then look at this. Are you going to just let that happen to your child? Oh, no, I won't. That's my child. And God is a way better father than me. You see? He protects us. He provides for us. That's all a package of salvation. Some of y'all should be tired of living check to check and having lack and not being without and worried about what you're going to eat. When you get saved, part of the deal is, since he your daddy, my shepherd shall supply my need. Jehovah is his name. He told us if I give to the birds of the air and I clothe the lilies of the field, wouldn't I clothe you? You worth way more than me than a bird. That'd be like me going in the backyard feeding my dog but watching my children starve. That ain't going to happen. And if I wouldn't do that, just imagine the good Father which is in heaven. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. When you get saved, you got promises that you could bank on. God, you said, God, if I asked for bread, you wouldn't give me a stone. But unless you're saved, you can't ask that. Salvation brings with it protection, provision. And look what it says here. He says, and look, I put it, never leave you nor forsake you. When he's saved, he's telling you, when you get saved, he's telling you, listen, lo, I'm going to be with you even until the end. I'm going to be with you always, even until the end. That's what he said. He tells us in his word, he said, listen, yeah, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know? When you come to this altar and get saved and you take that Holy Spirit on board with you, he's going to be with you for the rest of your life. When you're in the hospital like Bryce, guess where that Holy Spirit, where God was? Right on the side. And when you're taking your last breath like Pastor Nat on that bed, guess where God was? Right on the side. And when he was crossing over into eternity and at the pearly gates, guess where God was? Right on his side. And when he was walking through those pearly gates and the streets of gold, amen, walking straight to his mansion, guess where God was? Right on his side. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, give God some glory. That's salvation. That is salvation. It's a big thing. The church is not teaching it no more. They're bored with it. And because of it, the people of God don't know the benefits. They don't know the testament. It's like a person, amen, who's really a millionaire that their daddy left millions of dollars but living broke, living poor. I pull up, you eating out of the dumpster. And I walk up to him and I say, don't you know when they left you? Don't you know what was willed to you? That's how Christians are living. But we're going to go over the testament with us. We're going to find out everything that's ours and we want it all. Huh, my little aunt? Huh? In the name of Jesus. Ah! We want it all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We want it all. Hallelujah. So listen, then he tells us this, part of the package of salvation. I'll never give you more than you can handle. Isn't that good? You see, without it, man, life can throw us some curveballs, man. That's why people catching breakdowns and need medication, because it can get too much. You know what I'm saying? Just burdensome, you know? But our Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians, amen, he tells us in chapter 10, verse 13, he says, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. He says, but God is faithful, who will never give you more than you can bear, never tempt you more than you can bear, you see? And will with the temptation provide a way of escape. He'll never give you anything in life that you can't handle. It's like a good father would never give the keys to the car to a two-year-old. You can't handle that. He watches out for our good, and that's part of salvation. And then he tells it, listen, even if you get tired of under it, you know, he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Let's trade. I'm going to take your burdens. I'm going to take your yoke, and you take my yoke, because it's my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what salvation is. Come on, Pastor, keep going. Salvation is this. He promises to work all things for our good. Now, I'm not saying it's going to feel good. I'm not saying it's going to look good. Sometimes it don't smell good and it don't taste good. But at the end of your life, everything that God does in your life or allows in your life, He's going to make sure, child of God, that every single thing will work together for your good. It's going to propel you. It's going to bless you. It's not going to break you. It's going to make you. Every single thing that happened to you is going to be a step up, even though it looked like a step down. Everything that happened to you is going to be a promotion, even though it was a demotion. Everything that happened to you is going to be a hire, even though in the natural it was a fire. Everything that happens to you, God is moving you in the place that He wants you to be. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if anybody hear me up in here. This is the benefits of being a Christian and being saved. Even when it happens bad, when they didn't want to hire me in Baton Rouge, when I couldn't get the legal job that I wanted, it seemed bad to me, but can I tell you that it worked together for my good? I wouldn't even be here today. Anybody hear me up in here? So whatever it is, part of the package of salvation. And that's why it's so great. God is saying, listen, don't worry, don't stress. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through loss. You're going to shed some tears. Amen. But listen, listen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning light. It's going to work out for your good. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Man, I got to hurry, y'all. Listen, I got to hurry. Listen, listen, salvation comes with all kinds of things. He gives us gifts. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God that give it to all men liberally, amen, and upbraid it not. He going to give you wisdom. God, I need help in this marriage. I need help in my finances. I need help in ordering this situation for my business. God, I need help, Lord God, in this school, God. And God shows up every single time. As a child of God, you have a right to this wisdom. And some of y'all, amen, you're not saved. And listen, you've been making all the wrong decisions. You don't have to live like that. At the end of this service, you're going to be able to come to Father God. And God says, listen, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct your path. He's going to be the one that's going to take you where you need to be. And listen, people are going to look at you and say, oh, he was so wise and she was so wise. Look how they got their life all together. If they only knew who was leading me, who was guiding me, who was giving me the wisdom. Hey, God. That is the benefit of being a child of God. Listen, some people are interested in getting saved today already, and we're not even out of the first point. The wisdom. The wisdom. He gives us abundant life is another one. Pastor, what you mean by that? Well, listen, before we save, we just live in. We just live in. And me? I was dying to live. And from the outside, it looked like it was all good. I had the car, I had the rims, I was in the fraternity, we had the parties, we were doing, I mean, it was everything. And I had a little life out here in college. Now I'm from Lafayette, Simcoe Visa, so I got a little life on the street too. It's all going on. I could do both, college, street, I could do it all. I could do it. And we got it going on. You know, that's all I'm going to say on that one, but I'm just saying. All right? But on the inside, just coming back from the party, just coming back from, I'm not fulfilled. I'm empty. There's got to be more. When he says that I'm going to give you life, he says, listen, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. You're just not going to live. You're going to have a life that's overflowing. The promise is when you get saved, the package of salvation is, listen, I'm going to give you a life that you're going to wake up and look around in the morning and say, God, I sure am blessed. Life more abundantly, meaning like you got life to spare. People around you that's dying to live, you got life to spare. Here, I'm going to let you borrow a little life because I got a lot of it. I'm overflowing. I'm not empty. I'm not unsatisfied. When you're lost, you're insatiable. The cars can't do it. The house can't do it. The women can't do it. The men can't do it. The women and the men can't do it. Some of y'all, the dogs and the cats can't do it. None can fulfill you. None can fulfill you. None can fulfill you. Nothing can fulfill you. You know? Nothing can fulfill you. What you need is abundant life. You know? Some of y'all, even Christians, let's get to the Christians. Some of y'all Christians waiting for life when he's already given it to you. All right? Some of y'all in here, y'all saying, well, we're going to live when we get our house. And we're going to live when I can get this car and when I pay out these bills and when I can buy these shoes. And no, dog. No. No. We live now, dog. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me good. A man's life don't consist in his possessions, no. The life he give us at salvation is a life when he get us at the bottom, we got life. We ain't got nothing yet. And he began to pick us up and we getting cars and we still got life. Hallelujah. We get a house and we still got life. We get a business and we still got life. Tragedy happened and it's all taken away. We back at the bottom. Guess what we still have? We still have life. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Listen. They look and they see, oh yeah, they say, oh, they got a car. That don't give me life. I've been had life before that. You didn't see me driving my little Ford F-150 1997 with a dent in the side, air conditioned, blowing cold, but guess what's on the inside? Life. And I'm telling you, and it don't matter. Some of y'all waiting to live when he's already given you life. Listen, money don't make life, no man. Money don't make life. You know how many people paid right now with no life? What you waiting on? Live, man. Live. Get Christ, be saved, and live, man. Our Lord didn't have a place to lay his head, but he was living life. Out of his belly was flowing rivers of living water. He was living. I don't know what you're waiting for. What you waiting for? You done bought the lie of the devil. I tell you, you watch too much TV. You waiting for your life to look like their life, which is a fake life. It's not even real. It's just, you know what I'm saying? You waiting for that. And so you're going to get the girl that's on the TV, which everything fake on her. At least you got something real in your woman. You live in MTV, man. And I'm trying to get you to live G-O-D. You with me so far? You heard me? You heard me? Like my 2-year-old son say, huh, bruh? I'm telling you, abundant life. Then he makes us ambassadors. That's salvation. What you mean, Pastor? Well, listen, it goes even further. He takes us out the kingdom of darkness, makes us a citizen of his kingdom, puts us in his royal lineage, we royal priesthood, amen, children of the king. Not only that, he gives us a position in the kingdom. He makes us ambassadors. If anybody know anything about political science and governments, an ambassador is an honorable, prestigious position. Ambassadors sit with kings and queens and meets with heads of states, amen. We are ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. We go out to the world, amen, and come with a message of Christ. We his spokesmen and spokeswomen. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me, man. You know how much of an honor that is? Y'all get honored when they promote y'all at Burger King to shift manager. And it is an honor. Praise the Lord for it. You're working. You ain't selling drugs. Glory to God. But I got a bigger honor for you. The King of the universe has looked out on all mankind that's living, 6 billion on the planet right now. And he said, I want you to talk for me. I want you to go out there and get the lost for me. You my man. You my ambassador. Wherever they see you, the kingdom of God has just walked in. You're my ambassador. And that's what happens at salvation. Come on, give God some glory. Oh, we got to move. We got to move. He gives his angels charge over us, minister. The Bible says, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Hebrews tell us, amen, that the angels are heirs, are ministers for the heirs of salvation. Got a lot of people worshiping angels, wanting to be angels. When you realize what salvation does to us, salvation takes men and lifts them higher than the angels. How you know, Pastor? Well, because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, above principalities, powers, rulers, dominions, everything that's in this world and the world. Oh, man, y'all don't even want to know this. Listen, you're praying to some. Listen, you're praying to some under you after you get saved. And I'm not trying to insult the angels, but the Bible say that they ministers to the heirs of salvation. They better help us out. Walk with us. You see, in here you think it's packed, but it's packed in here than you see yet. Because besides every child of God, there's a big angel standing right there. You understand what I'm saying? Them angels, look, shoulder to shoulder. And some of y'all need three angels because y'all so hard-headed. They send the reinforcements on you. And then after that, we get heaven. You see? That's salvation, my friend. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, let's keep going. So a lot of people don't know about what really salvation is. And because of that, amen, people just, they don't teach it. They don't really appreciate it. Now, let's go into it. He says in verse 12, neither is there salvation. Then he says, in any other. Let's just stop right there. The Bible is saying that all those things that I just mentioned about salvation, how, hallelujah, God translates you out of darkness. He makes you alive, and he adopts you in his family. He destroys the effects of sin. He protects you, provides, never leaves you, never give you more than you can handle. Work things, all things out for your good. Give you wisdom, abundant life, make you an ambassador. Give you angels to minister, and then give you heaven at the end. All those things that entail salvation, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. Meaning that no other person, thing, being can get you all the things that I just named but the one Jesus Christ. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? And if you just think about it, that makes sense. Who in the world gonna pull me out of the devil's kingdom besides Jesus? Besides God? Nobody else can do that. All right? Let me tell you what this means than any other. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. This means this. There's no salvation in self. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough, do good enough works to save yourself. Listen. You can't pull yourself out of the devil's kingdom. And you can't make yourself spiritually alive. That's like telling a dead man to resuscitate himself. It has to be an outside job. Anybody hear me up in here? All the things we talk about, you can't do that to yourself. And the Bible corroborates this because it tells us, by the works of the law, our own works, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. Listen to me, man. We can't do nothing for ourselves. There is salvation. There isn't salvation in any other but Jesus. But not just you, not just you. Not just you can't save yourself, but your mama can't save you. Now, what that pastor doing talk about my mama? Yeah, I'm talking about your mama. But your mama can't save you. And your daddy can't save you. And your grandma can't save you. And your grandpa can't save you. Because there is not salvation in any other. Salvation is not hereditary. You can't say my mama saved, therefore I'm saved. Oh, no, friend. Uh-uh. We all got to stand before the judgment seat of God. Individually. And mama going to be in front of you saying, boy, I hope you got your stuff together. Because I'm trying to get in myself. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. You can't save yourself. Mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. You know what I'm saying? Let me go even deeper than that. Let me tell you the truth. Listen. Pastor can't save you. Think about the scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other. Pastor can't save you. Oh no. I'm not a savior. I need a savior. You understand what I'm saying? Now listen, I can point you to the savior. I can illustrate salvation. I can do the best I can to lead you the way. But listen, the one that's going to save you and get you out of hell, put you in heaven, take you out of darkness and put you in light is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. That's it. And listen, I'm not talking about myself, bad. Listen, there is not a pastor in town that can save you. Not a pastor in the country that can save you. Not a pastor in the world or has ever been in the world that can save you. Neither is there salvation in any other. And let me tell you what else while we're at it. Ain't no priest can save you either. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. It's only through Christ. Am I making some up? Neither is thou salvation. And so what the priest can do? I go into confession, I get my two Hail Mary, I come out and I say that. Now what? He can't save me, dog. He can't save me. Now churches won't say that because they want you to depend on them for salvation. I don't want you to depend on me. I want you to depend on Jesus. It's not about me. It's him. It's him. Let him be lifted up. You got to see my heart in this. Now, so no pastor can save you. No priest can save you. All right? Take it further, pastor. No pope can save you. He can't. He can't. You're kissing his feet. You're rubbing him. It will do nothing for you eternally. Because the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. It's Jesus Christ. And that's it, friends. And I'm telling you the truth. And if you get mad at me for telling you the truth, you got a problem up in here. You got a problem up in here. Listen to me. It ain't happening, dog. It ain't happening. Because all of the aforementioned people that we mentioned, whether it's me or other pastors or other preachers or priests or popes, amen, we can't save you because we all need a savior ourselves. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Oh, all right. I'm about to get going now. So that means Mary can't save you either. Neither is there salvation in any other. Come on, listen. Let's just take it for what it is. Oh, you talking about religion? No, I'm exposing lies. I'm exposing it so my people won't perish for a lack of knowledge. Now, if you want me to lie to you, you done come to the wrong place. If you want me to leave you messed up, then you done come to the wrong place. I'm going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me, God. And if my Bible said there's no salvation in any other, then Mary can't do it either. Joseph can't do it either. Anybody else, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, they can't do it either. None of the saints, none of the patriarchs, none of the saints. I'm talking about Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, any of them. None of them can do it. There's no salvation in any other. You see? And all of the leaders that claimed to be messiahs in times past, whether it was David Koresh or Joseph Smith or Dr. Henry Kinsley of Adiamara, or Muhammad, or Buddha, none of those. None of those. Neither is there salvation in how many other? In any other. Now, you're going to have to make a decision in here. We're not done yet. But already, you know you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to believe the Bible, or you're going to have to believe what people are saying. Now, listen to me good. You do whatever you want. But when you get to God on that judgment day, you better have a good excuse for what you believed and why you believed it. All right? Now, me, when I get up there and I'm going to say, Lord, I believed in you. And he's going to say, man, why? I'm going to say, because the Bible told me so. Okay. You're going to get up there, well, I believed in Hare Krishna, whatever, you know. And God's going to say, why you believe that? Well, in my time, everybody else was believing. God's going to say, oh, which one have the better excuse? The one that say the word of God. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right. All right. Look, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. All right. So listen, no salvation in any other means this. No other animals, cows like the Hindus, no other animals, the sun, the moon, the stars, the worship of Ra, no other beings, the Luciferians who worship Satan and maybe worship the rest of the angels. Man, listen, man, ain't no salvation in that. And people think the devil big, man. The devil big to you, but he ain't big to the one who created him. You with me so far? Listen to me, man. Them people worshiping Satan, man. How you gonna worship something that was created, that got a birthday? The one I worship have neither beginning of years nor end of days. They call him the Ancient of Days. You can go as far back as you want, and our God be in the classroom, say, here. And you can go as far as you want. I'm still here. I'm everywhere present, always present. I'm eternal. Amen. I'm eternal. He says, before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. You can't go nowhere that I am not. Oh, my goodness, have mercy. That's my God. That's my God. You see what I'm saying? Now listen, no salvation in any other, no other denomination. Denominations can't save you. We want, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm for sure I'm going to get in. For sure they got a Baptist section in heaven. We're going to get to the gates. God, oh, it's misunderstanding. I'm Catholic, God. Neither is there salvation in any other. Denominations don't matter. There's no denominations in heaven. You being a member of Philadelphia will not get you in heaven. It's not. I'm being real with you. I'm cutting the truth all across the board. I'm just not talking about popes and priests. I'm talking about me. I'm just not talking about denominations in church. I'm talking about Philly. There is neither salvation in any other. Philadelphia cannot save you. You can come in here and find the way of salvation, but the church can't save you. You see? What I'm talking about in seminary is what we call the exclusivity. Thank you, Sambu. Exclusivity of Christ. Meaning that he has exclusive rights to salvation. And nobody else can claim that right. Nobody else. Neither is there salvation in any other. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Y'all understand that? All right. Let's look at point number C. We moving. He says in 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men. Now, God arrested me right here. And so I entitled this point, Under Heaven. And he began to show me that there are a lot of names out there, denominations and people, that people are trying to get to heaven while they're here on earth. And the new thing is that the names are getting together. The names are getting together. The religions are getting together. The false ways are coming together. What you mean, Pastor? Well, you got the one way, which is through Jesus Christ. And by the way, did you know what the early Christians were called? The early Christians were called the people of the way. Did you know that? You can read your book, the book of Acts. They were called people of the way because they were the only people on the planet that taught one way. I wish the church could get back to the way. To the way. Because what's happened is what's called pluralism. In our current time, we have something that's called pluralism. Say it with me, pluralism. When something plural, it means that it has more than one. You can put an S on the side of it. And so what they're doing with salvation, they're pluralizing it. They're saying that you can be saved more than one way. Listen, pluralism is the belief that all religions are true. Y'all ever heard that before? All roads lead to heaven. Y'all ever heard that before? Wait. Don't go back. I was reading. I'm going to be lost if y'all don't. Go back to plural. Thank you. And all the sincere will be saved. That's the lie of the devil right now that's going around. And it's creeping in the church. Because some of y'all could sit in here and think, well, it don't matter which religion I pick. They all go to the same place. And so you see God as this mountain right here. Let's go to it right now. Look. You see it. Where is Islam? Christianity? Whether it's, I don't have my glasses on, what that say? Hinduism? Yeah. You see, well, they all go to the same place. That's pluralism. And pluralism is dead wrong. It's dead wrong. Emphasis on dead. You know what I'm saying? Pastor, why you say it's wrong? The mainstream media in the world is pushing it. You know? Even the Pope came out. And he say that Allah and the God that we serve is one and the same. That's not the truth, man. And then we got them meeting with all kind of people, man, from all them different faiths and stuff like that. I got the next slide. Now, those of us that know our Bible know where this is heading. When you read Revelations, amen, the devil is coming with a one-world religion. You know that. That's pluralism. Let's put everything in a pot, melt it together, and let's say, listen, believe what you want as long as you're sincere about it, and we're going to all go to heaven. The problem with being sincere is that you can be sincerely wrong. Anybody heard me before? A woman is taking care of her husband, all right? She sincerely wants him to get better, but she gives him the wrong medicine. And the medicine she gives him actually kills him. Now, she was sincere in what she was doing, but because she gave him the wrong thing, it produced the wrong result. Some of y'all sincere about false religion. And you're giving yourself the bad medicine, and you believe, and you're sincere, but it's still going to end up with a bad result. If you're going to be sincere about the right thing and not the wrong thing. Come on, somebody. Woo! Now, let me talk with you a little bit about pluralism and why it's wrong. Why this all roads lead to God. And all them superstars you watch on TV, you keep on your TV all day like that, that's what most of them believe, that all roads lead to God. Let me show you why this is wrong. Number one is anti-Bible. It's anti-Bible. The Bible clearly teaches against pluralism. And so once again, when you start saying we could pick any religion we want, we can just, you know, you're going to have to choose. Am I going to go with God's word, the Bible? Am I going to go with what CNN telling me and what the public schools teaching my kids? You know, because this stuff is anti-Bible. How you know, Pastor? Well, look at our scripture, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's totally against pluralism. He's saying there's none other way. That's Peter. Now, some of y'all were saying, man, Peter was having a bad day. He was tripping. You know? Well, let me show you what John said. Look what John said in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So you're telling me I could believe in Buddha and everything like that? No. John's saying, if you don't have the Son, Jesus, you're not going to see life, friend. It's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ for salvation. There is not many roads. There are not many saviors. There's just one. Look what Paul said. Some people say, well, that's just Peter and John. They used to hang around together. They had bad influence on one another. Well, look what Paul said. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God. And one what? One mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Why? Because he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This pluralism, y'all, is anti-Bible. Not only that, pluralism is anti-Christ. It's against Jesus. When you begin to believe that all roads lead, you're going against Jesus. And then people tell you, oh, no, we believe in Jesus, too. But we just believe in Buddha and Hindu, and we believe in that. No, you really don't believe in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, you want to know what Jesus say about pluralism? John 8:24. I said, therefore, unto you, ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You think that's pluralism? Jesus saying, if you don't believe I'm the one, you're going to die in your sin. And ain't nobody else going to be able to save you but me. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me give you another scripture. John chapter 14, verse 6. You think Jesus believed in pluralism? Look what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by me. That's not pluralism, dog. That's not many ways up the mountain. That's one way. Look what he said. He don't say I am in a way, no. He don't say I'm one of the ways, no. He don't say I'm an option. He say I'm the way. He don't say I'm a truth. Nah, I'm the truth. Meaning like this, I'm the only truth. If you're looking for truth, you and I'm the life. Meaning that if you're looking for life, this is the only place where you can get it, Jesus is saying. And I testify that he's telling the truth, friends. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Now, hey, I'm going to keep pushing. Don't worry about me because I got to get this poison out of us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus say the same thing. Look at it here. Jesus say, he say this. Enter in the straight gate. That's the gate that's small. He say, because the other gate is wide. Wide is the gate. And the other way is broad. Broad is the way. But where that wide gate and that wide way lead, it lead to destruction. And how many people gonna find it? Many there be which go in thereat. So there's two ways, y'all. They got the broad way that everybody going. That's all the other religions, all the other things that they count as saviors. And then he tells you that there's a straight gate. Look at the next verse, in verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And how many gonna find it? Few there be that find it. Got some of y'all believing in pluralism because everybody's saying it's true. Don't you ever believe everybody. Just because the majority of people say something don't make it true. The majority of people can come up and jump on the top of the building and say, y'all, guess what? Gravity is not real. And the majority say it. But I bet you if one person jump off that building and break that leg, we're going to say, it don't matter how many believe something. The truth is the truth, my friend. And Jesus is the truth. Amen. Come on. Pluralism is anti-God. Anti-God. It's anti-Bible, anti-Christ, and anti-God. I'm about to get deep on y'all for a second. From the very beginning of man's relationship with God, God has never been pluralistic. He has never been choose whichever God you want to serve. His very first commandment in the Ten Commandments says this: you shall have no other God before me. And that before don't mean just put him first, no. That before means you shall have no other God beside me. I'm not taking no shorts, God said. I'm not being second place to nobody. You know what our Bible says about our God? That our God is a jealous God. You with me so far? When we look at this in the NLT, look what he says. You must not have any God but me. He's not pluralistic. Christians, don't buy that stuff on TV, no. Turn that stuff off, man. And don't buy that stuff from the Pope or some of these new Christian churches, the liberal churches that's out there trying to get us to be all one world religion. You better turn them off, too. God is not like that, man. He don't want you worshiping Allah 1 week and then Jesus the next week and then Buddha the next week. He say, oh, no, friend. You worship me, God said. And if you don't, it's going to be a problem. In Deuteronomy 6:4, which is the Shema. Somebody say Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. And the Shema is what the Hebrews said twice a day. In the morning prayer time and in the evening prayer time. They'd get together and they'd say the same thing over and over again. It goes like this: Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's not a duplicity of gods. It's not a plethora of different gods. He's one. And he want to be worshipped. Pluralism is anti-God. It's so anti-God that God told his people, when you go into the land, I want you to break down the altars and tear up the idols. I want you to destroy every resemblance of any type of false god there is, because I don't even want that to last. He says not only tear up the false gods and the idols, amen. He said don't even marry them people that's living like this with this plurality of different gods and worshiping these idols. Because if you marry them, that's going to get your sons and your daughter to start worshiping these gods too. Don't you ever do that, God say. Because I'm not a pluralistic God. One God. One way. One Savior. One Jesus. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! This pluralism is anti-gospel. The gospel is the way of salvation. It tells us that we all sinners and we all fall short of the glory. Every single one of us. It tells us that the wages of sin is death. It tells us that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, was buried in a grave, and rose on the third day. The gospel tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This pluralism, it cuts right at the root of the gospel. the very gospel that people have died for, including our Lord. And for you to start believing that anybody can save you, Joe Blow on the street, Tada from the hood, Leroy from the block, anybody, that's it. You can get in any kind of way. You striking at what people gave their life for, man. It's anti-gospel. Here's the last one on this section. Pluralism is against our own personal testimony, Brother Sam. You see, I don't know if a few of y'all was like me before I was saved. I tried everything. When I tell you I had that emptiness, amen, while I was on campus and doing all the parties and stuff, listen, when I had that emptiness, Ralph, I began to try to find a way to fill the void. So I spoke with the Jehovah Witness. I sat with the Mormons. I went to the Nation of Islam meetings. I'm going into the places where deep hidden knowledge is. And I'm trying to read and trying to study and all of this stuff like that. But none of those things ever filled me. And none of them ever changed me. Pluralism is wrong because if we just think about our own testimony, how when we was in religion, we were still in the club. I can't do the dance that some of y'all was doing. Because that's how I was. Call myself deep, talking about Atlantis and Egypt and all this stuff like that, but still living ratchet. Still in sin. Meeting with the Mormons, the Nation of Islam, still full of rage and bitterness and just a bad person. But when I met Christ, oh God, when I met Jesus, you hear me so far? You see, nobody can come tell me pluralism worked because I done tried it. None of that stuff could fix me. And if you're true to your testimony, you know that none of your bondages, listen, all the things we talked about in regards to salvation, you know what I'm saying? Freeing you from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, translating you out of darkness into light, making you alive when you was dead. All those things, pluralism can't do that for us. It can't do that for us. It ain't did it for me. It was only Jesus who did it. It was only Jesus who did it. Now listen to me good. Now, after you get saved, you go try to do the thing you used to do. Go ahead. Go ahead if you're bad. Go ahead. You know, you go try to get drunk or get high like you used to. Salvation, the power of it, takes away the pleasure of sin. Anybody hear me? Before you were saved, there was a pleasure in sin. After you get saved, listen, saved folk, it's not that we can't do what we used to do. We don't want to do what we used to do. Listen, it's not that I can't beat old Omar. I don't want to beat old. His seed is on the inside of me. And when I do those things that are not consistent with his character and with his word, I feel the grief that I put him through. Well, let me be real with you for a second. So I'm saved, but I'm trying to be with the boys in the hood. And we all, you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting them. You know? And all of a sudden, conviction. I'm crying. What you crying for? You ain't never cried before. Boy, that must be some good stuff. What you? No, I'm crying because I don't want to do this no more. And I don't want to live like this no more. And this ain't for me no more. And everybody thinking I'm just going crazy or something, but it's not. I'm not crazy. No, I'm really sane. I'm actually got my mind more in check than I ever had my mind in check. And I can't do those things no more. And God, and that's what's going to happen. It's the power of Christ in sin. And you try to go fornicate like you used to fornicate. Insane? I touched her. Oh God, I'm sorry. Girl, look at you. This ain't never happened to me before. Pluralism don't do that, though. Pluralism don't do that. Things I was doing to you, I see, I ain't never stopping. Christ, it's over. You know? Pluralism is against our own testimony. Come on, give God some glory. Look, we're about to go, yeah, y'all. We're about to go. Don't worry about it. We're about to leave. We're about to leave out of here. Let me. Oh, goodness. Let me read this to you right quick. Especially our young folk. Our young folk, this right here for you. Our old folk like, many God, get out of here. But the young folk that's in them schools and in them colleges and our children coming up after us, this is the battle right here, man. That's why I took this time to go through all. This is where the battle is right here. Come, Joseph Gray, help me, man. Listen, this is what J.C. Ryle said. He said, I feel it is a duty. He was a pastor, a preacher, and an author. He said, I feel it's a duty to bear testimony against the spirit of the day in which we live in. He said, it's my duty to warn men against an infection that's in the church. Ryle said, it's not atheism. No. It's not atheism. That's easy to defeat. There's no God. Boy, look around, boy. Look around. The very eyes you're looking through profess that there's a God. So Ralph said, it's not atheism. I fear so much in the present time. No. He said, it's pluralism, relativism, pantheism. That's the different names for it, that there is no one truth. He said, it's not a system that I fear that says nothing is true, but it's that system that says everything is true. That's what I fear, Ralph said. He says it's not the system that says there's no savior, but it's the system that says that there are many saviors and you can pick and choose which savior you want. That's the one that's most dangerous, Mika. You see? He says it's the system that's so liberal that it dares not say that anything is false and wrong and untrue. Oh, we love everybody. Believe anything you want. We're not going to tell you you're wrong. We love you too much to tell you you're wrong. How much sense that make? We love you too much to stop you from going to hell. We love you too much to stop a child from putting their hand in that fire. We love you too much to take them keys away from you so you won't crash and burn on the side of the world. No, real love tells you the truth, man. That's the only reason I'm here, is because of love. I could be practicing law, settling some case somewhere. Love tells the truth, man. Ralph say, man, that's what I'm afraid of. You see? Yeah, that's it. That's what Ralph say. Ralph say, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm almost done. All right, here it is. All right, look what he says. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. We're going to do these two right quick and then we're going to leave. Given among men. Neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men. The name of Jesus is given to us. It's given to us by Father God. It's given to us when he didn't have to give us anything. We was lost as a whole human race on our way to hell because we had disobeyed him. He threw us a rope, man. He gave us a name that we could be saved by. Now, I want you to imagine you in a boat and you see somebody drowning. Nah, let's go deeper than that. It's your enemy. The same one that was trying to sink your boat at the dock. You see him leave, his boat sink, and you passing in your big boat. You see him drowning, so you take a life preserver with a rope tied, and you throw him the life preserver. He look at it, he say, don't throw me that one, throw me the blue one. He be like, boy, listen, I shouldn't even be throwing you a life preserver at all. You better say lucky by the amazing grace that I'm throwing. This is what people do to God. we drown in. He give us a name by which we can be saved. He don't have to do it. We sinned against him. We messed up. We blaspheme his name. He throw us something. And we say, God, I don't want to be saved by that name. Could you throw me the Buddha Life Preserve or the David Koresh Life Preserve? Can you throw me this other one? Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. Beggars can't be choosy. You with me so far? You don't tell God how you want to be saved. You grab the thing that he throw you. The name which is given. The name which is given. You take that. It's like a man in the desert thirsting. Dying. Lips all parched. He can't even talk. Water. And you pass and it's your enemy. You're like, look at that Negro right there. But the goodness of your heart. God in you. You say, I'm going to give him a little glass of water. Might not be a big glass, but you give him a little something. You know what I'm saying? That brother take that and he look at it. You know what I'm saying? So he look at it and he say, oh, you got any lemonade instead? My dog, you're dying. You can't be picky. The name was given. Out of the mercy, the grace of his heart. Look, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The angels saw what God did when he gave Jesus to us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Listen, the gifts don't make Christmas, no. Jesus made Christmas because he was given. He was the gift. God gave us a gift for Christmas. The angels and what that is, Luke. When they saw what God did, they say glory. The angels say glory in the highest. Go to 12. Go to 14. That's right. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Somebody done showed goodwill toward men. Come on, give God some glory, man. I'm almost finished. Yeah, y'all, I'm telling you, we just got to work because this is a war out here. Hebrews 2:3 tell us, listen, when God throw you that life preserver in the name of Jesus and you're so proud that you won't pick somebody else, Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There will not be another life preserver thrown. There will not be another glass of water given. You see? The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. Here's the last thing, and then we're going to go. The Bible says, whereby we must be saved. Not can. Not might, not could, but if you will be saved, you must be saved by Jesus Christ. Ain't no other Savior that's out there, friends. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you don't want to believe the Bible, that's on you. But let me tell you something. If Jesus is one of the ways, and I take it because I think he's the only way, and I get to heaven, what's going to happen? I'm going to get in, huh? God's going to say, welcome, you took one of the right ways. But if you disbelieve the Bible, the Bible not real, I could choose any one of them. And you get up there, and he tell you, there was only one way. What's going to happen to you? What I'm saying is, if I'm wrong, I still get in. If you wrong, so it's like a gamble. And I'd rather gamble on this side if I did gamble. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. Now, saints, listen. We're going to do altar call. We're going to do communion. I just need to tell you, when we go out on Thursday and Friday, we're going out to tell our communities about Jesus. They're confused about salvation, but there's no other way to be saved. They're so lost out there. They live in terrible lives of struggle and strain, and we have the answer. So we got to get in those hoods, and we got to let them know what's happening, you know? So be there with me Thursday and Friday. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, the altar is going to be open in a second, and all those things I mentioned God going to do for you, he's going to do it for you starting today. If you're here today and you was a believer in pluralism, anything goes, I can go any kind of way, but you saw that the Bible spoke differently and you ready to give the Lord Jesus a chance. Now, you done gave all of the rest of them a chance. Why don't you just give Jesus a chance? And we're going to see what he can do. You see? And maybe we got some Christians in here. You've been backsliding a little bit. Believing that jargon on the television, the hellavision. That Jesus is not the only way. Maybe you've been in some sin and you know we're about to take the Lord's Supper. And so you're going to have to repent of some things before you take the body and blood. The altar's going to be open. When the music starts, the altar's going to be open, and we can get our workers to come on up as well. And you can come be saved. You can come repent. You can come be filled up. You can come and restore your relationship. Whatever you need, the altar is open. Come. 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 The word was talking straight to you. Come. 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 It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time today. It's your time. God, you're the only way. We're so sorry for putting other people on the same level as you. We're so sorry for thinking that there was any other way besides you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. And we're here to repent of some things, to say we're sorry, to ask for forgiveness. I don't know why you're at the altar, but the altar take care of everything you need this morning. So let us pray and beseech heaven for our needs here on earth. Somebody say, God, I thank you for making a way out of no way. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, for giving us the name whereby we must be saved. Lord, I admit I'm not perfect. I've messed up. I've sinned against you. And I apologize. But I believe that you still love me. And you love me so much that you died on the cross for all my sins. Lord, I accept your way of salvation. Not my own way, but your way. I believe Jesus died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. Lord, save me, a sinner, and clean me up. Break the power of sin in my life. Remove the guilt, the penalty. Restore me. Fill me up. Wash me, clean me, and use me for your glory. Give me purpose and satisfy my soul. I'm tired being empty. Satisfy my soul. I need you, Lord. I want you, Lord. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him glory in this house. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we're going to have communion, amen. And You'll be able to stay right here if you're in the front, and they'll pass you the little cup and the bread. And hallelujah, we have some stations in the back that'll do the same thing. We're going to eat the bread together, drink together, and then we're going to dismiss. It's like 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And here it is. If you here at this altar, go ahead and take communion with us. It's fine. But if you're here and you really don't want God, and you're just here just to waste some time, I would go ahead and tell you to maybe wait. Maybe you're not ready yet just to partake communion, because you don't want to play with his blood and his body. Amen. Father, bless us now as we partake in communion together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. You got it? All right, all right. They're going to give you one of each, and you can take one and just return to your seat after you get your one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The bread and the blood. The bread and the blood. The bread and the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Go grab your mic, pretty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. The Bible says, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it, gave thanks, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Nobody else was broken for you, just him. He said, "Take, eat it, and do it in remembrance of me. Never forget me, and don't let anybody replace me." That's what our God is saying. Lord, we remember you now. Your body that was broken, and we eat together. In Jesus' name. After supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of my blood for the New Testament, the New Covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins." He said, "Drink ye all of it. And do this in remembrance of me, because nobody else going to shed their blood that you might be saved." Father, we thank you for the Son that was sent and the blood that was shed. We will replace him with no one else. Thank you for the blood. Let's drink together. You can take the cup and pass it on down, and our ushers will come by and get them. We're going to sing that doxology on our way out, and we're going to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gracie going to help us out with that. Let's walk while we sing, pretty. On three, we're going to do it. One, two, three. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come on.
Praise him, all creatures.
Thank you, Father.
Here below.
Praise him above.
Praise him above.
Praise Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And the church say, Amen. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord bless you with peace, with shalom. Amen. I pray you have an awesome week. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.